Right now. Okay, so welcome everybody to this OMS Tech Fridays call. So this is a call where we'll spend a little bit of time for those the uninitiated, if you will, from an OMS perspective of exactly what the basics and the overview of is of OMS, and then we drill into a topic. So my name is Kevin Sullivan. By title, I am sometimes known as a BCDR technical lead. I do cover quite a bit of territory. I'm what's known as a time zone lead for the Americas. So my focus is right at the heart of the technologies within the OMS suite, as most of you know, and if not, we'll find out today, including things like Azure Site Recovery and Azure Backup and Log Analytics, et cetera. And today we're lucky to have Mr. Jim Britt, who's Senior Program Manager in the Enterprise Cloud Group. Jim, do you want to give a short intro of yourself?
Again, my name is Jim Britt, Senior Program Manager inside the Enterprise Cloud Group. My concentration has been, for the most part, over the last many years in automation space, but I span across the entire OMS suite, so that's kind of my brief intro.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim. All right, so let's get the logistics out of the way and what we're going to cover today and all that good stuff. So as always, before we get started, just a couple of things to keep in mind. This call is open to absolutely anyone and everyone that wants to. Actually, sorry about that. My slides probably were not advancing. Give me 1 second. So hopefully, Jim, we're looking at before we get started slide.
Yeah, yes.
Got it. Okay. So before we get started, just a couple things. Call's open to everybody. The material that we'll cover today is, because of that, public information. So there's no what I like to affectionately call secret squirrel information necessarily. So no NDA should be expected. Some of you that are internal to Microsoft and a lot of our customers that may have NDAs in place, that's great, but we can't really discuss that openly on this call. So just keep that in mind. Please feel free to use the IM window for any questions that you have as we move forward. So typically we when we get about 100 plus or so, which is typical with these calls, opening up the audio is usually a disaster. So I'll do my best as Jim is talking today. I'll try to triage the Q&A and try to get that as we go. Worst case scenario, anything we're happy to take offline, both myself, Jim, and if we can't figure out the answer, we'll find the persons that can, the people that can. And then finally, the sessions are recorded. We will post material at that AKA link you see there. So aka.ms/OMSFridays. Typically, we'll post obviously this recording as well as this deck for your reference. Okay. So let's get on with today's topic. So today's agenda, as always, I'll give a brief overview of what Operations Management Suite, what is this thing from an overview perspective that we're talking about. But we'll spend the bulk of our time within today's focus area, which is automation. More specifically, Azure automation, although that's kind of the centerpiece of what we find as the service, the thing that drives a lot of the automation solution that's found in OMS. And Jim will dive into some good demonstration and some details and walkthroughs of what you can use this thing for and what we find customers are using it for today. And then again, as always, Q&A, I'll do what I can to keep up with the Q&A as Jim talks, and we'll switch off and on. But again, we're here for you. So anything we can help you with, even an offline perspective, we'll do the best we can. Okay, so what is Operations Management Suite? So OMS, essentially, what I like to look at it, if you take anything away from this call, is just kind of maybe think of these four things that Operations Management Suite is, or rather is its objective in life or characteristics of it. First and foremost is a suite of solutions. So OMS itself, when somebody says, hey, I've got OMS, they should be referring to a suite of solutions. So we'll see that sometimes what they're referring to is specifically Log Analytics or maybe this thing called Azure Site Recovery. Those are things, those are solutions within the suite. So first and foremost, it's a suite, kind of like System Center Platform for those that are familiar with that, or even Office Suite. So different components within. Number two, it is a platform, and as it's aptly named, it's for addressing key areas of systems management. So yes, very similar goals in life in the OMS platform as we have with our own traditional system center platform. So we'll, as you learn more, you'll find out that is what the differences are. But essentially, it has kind of that same consistent objective as addressing carriers and systems management. Ever evolving. So today we'll talk about. Typically outline, we're talking about Azure automation, a specific thing within OMS, but there are other specific things and solutions today. But that may change and probably will change and already has changed in maybe even the next 30 days or the next 90 days or in beyond. And that's okay. It's a very evolving suite. Things and features within the solutions we have are ever expanding, as well as we're always looking at putting in new things within that suite as well. And then lastly, it's born in the cloud, but really OMS is really the differentiator is it's not cloud only. That is, yes, we absolutely, the common theme across whatever everything we do in this OMS suite is controlled and managed using the power of public cloud. And in our case, of course, specifically, that means typically Azure as kind of the control plane of what everything that we do with OMS. But it absolutely has and does span and brings value to where most of you or the vast majority of IT environments sit today, and that's what we consider on-premises, those traditional data center environments. And so there's pieces of suite, especially Azure Automation, as you'll find out today, as well as backup and site recovery and all and monitoring that we bring value there as well. So those four things are really the what I like to see is the kind of, if you take anything away, if you can think of OMS from those four respects, I will have done somewhat of a good job today. So a little more graphically, what we look at and just kind of take a look at this, it's not, again, it's not tethered to, well, public cloud, but only if it's Azure. Well, on-premises, but only if it's System Center, or if it's only Windows. Of course, you may be using other things, and most people are. The bigger the shop, the more varied that shop and those platforms become. So OMS, we have a span of solutions that aren't tethered to really any of these. So public cloud, whether it be Azure and even AWS, or maybe a traditional hoster, maybe I've got servers and platforms and stuff within partnerships I have with, say, a Rackspace. And then, of course, on-premises. You will absolutely see that OMS itself is a lot of times it's kind of marketed as, well, it's kind of like an extension to System Center, and it absolutely can be that. And we bring even more value to those that choose to also use System Center within the environment. However, I like to look at it as the technologies within OMS certainly aren't dependent upon System Center being there all everywhere or even at all. And so hopefully that as you learn more through these calls and on your own learning, you'll learn that that's very true, right? There's no gate of, hey, this stuff is no good for me unless I do System Center. So let's talk, just real quickly go over the way we like to look at where we're at currently, and note the word current in big bold letters, current OMS solutions. This is where we're at today. So when we talk about OMS, there's really kind of four buckets or solutions that we have: log analytics, automation, availability, and security. Log analytics, we have a actual specific solution named Log Analytics, pretty unique name there. But essentially that is what was, for those in the know and have seen what we've done in this space over the last several years, was also known as Operational Insights up until very recently, which also known even years before that as this perpetual beta we had called SCA, or System Center Advisor. So Log Analytics provides that's our source solution. That's the service within Azure within the OMS suite we have that tackles the log analytics space. So again, more think of monitoring. Think of very Splunk-like. So it's kind of the inverse of Operations Manager. Is what Log Analytics does today and provides. And we've had the last call was on focused on that. We'll have more calls on that. But essentially, that is kind of the area, the current OMS solution area we have for that. Moving forward is automation. Again, Azure Automation. It's not just Azure Automation, although that provides the center of what we have within the OMS suite. So for orchestration, runbook automation based on PowerShell workflow. Again, born in the cloud, but not just tethered to the cloud, something that you can use as a secure repository for even checking in, checking out, and having credential stores and shares, and being able to very securely get things done, whether they be within your cloud, whether it be Azure, even Amazon, or maybe even on premises. And then, you know, from my specifically, as you can tell by my title, the two things that are most near and dear to my heart from an OMS perspective these days are these two. And that's from an availability or business continuity, disaster recovery capability. And that is found in our two solutions, Azure Site Recovery and Azure Backup. So these two solutions, we had calls on these previously in this call, but essentially Azure Site Recovery being what we can use for unplanned, planned failover for our on-premises stuff, whether that's Windows servers, Linux servers, whether they be physical, VMware VMs, or Hyper-V. So basically bringing you up in a very short RPO with very short RPO, RTO objectives. And Azure Backup, being good old-fashioned backup, still need backup, whether we're talking about stuff in the cloud or we're talking about stuff on-premises, guess what? Typically, there's always going to be a mandate for any kind of real production data to have a good archive backup to maybe go back in time to get something or preserve data as it changes throughout the minutes, days, months, and years. And so we have this wonderful solution with Azure Backup. And then finally, security. And security on its own, there's a lot of stuff here. You know, from an OMS perspective, as we saw the last call that we essentially have with Log Analytics is the security and audit solution, which is ever expanding. But it doesn't stop there. There are other solutions within OMS that are also security-like or that lend a hand there, threat intelligence and preview. We've got wire data stuff, analysis, et cetera. But essentially, security becomes this thing that OMS can holistically take a look at and basically bring up those views using Log Analytics as kind of the engine behind that. So those are the four things from a current solutions perspective. Again, why OMS? You know, it comes down to, you know, why would I do this versus just doing System Center or doing something else? Simple being that it's born in the cloud, we take advantage of the abstract nature of, hey, when I build Log Analytics, for example, I don't have a bunch of servers and SANs and data and hard drives that I gotta maintain. I put an asterisk by no infrastructure to maintain simply because, well, yeah, of course, depending on what you're using OMS for, there's always gonna be something to do, whether it be for automation or monitoring or whatever, but vastly different and really simplified versus what we've had with traditional things like even our own System Center platform. Time to value, easy to integrate, all of these things are lit up. And again, as I've already mentioned, extending to our own System Center, again, not a hard requirement, but it absolutely complements our investments around System Center if you have chosen to use that or continue to use that within your traditional environments. Roadmap is here, and I put this up just kind of as a reference. This is actually a very shortened list. The regular roadmap of things where we've been and the on the horizon stuff is a really big eye chart or over several slides. But the point here is this: it's ever evolving. And so again, even within those four solutions, 30, 60 days, we might have five or six mainline solutions. And within those things like Log Analytics and security, we may have lot more things. So things on the horizon, like you'll hear remediated tasks such as automation, remediation, patch administration. There's a lot of things that we're doing that's really going to involve and make things better from an operations management perspective. Okay, so enough with that. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to hand it over to Mr. Britt, and Mr. Britt's going to focus the rest of our time here on Azure automation. So Jim, if you can take it over.
Excellent. Thanks for that great overview.
All right.
I am sharing my screen. Kevin, you can let me know if you're seeing it, if you are, then others are, hopefully.
I can see you, Jim, and a couple people on IM. There's 111 on you right now, but a couple of yeses would be good. All right, yep, looks like we're good to go, Jim.
All right, perfect. All right. So I thought today it would make sense to kind of start in OMS, give you guys an idea of kind of where automation fits into this. I know just from experience that we've probably got a breadth of experience on the call from MVPs and maybe very deep in this to customers just looking at it for the first time. And so I'm going to do my best in the next a bit before the end of the hour to get through as much as they possibly can. We may be going through things you've seen before, maybe review, but hopefully some of my annotation will give some additional things that you might not have heard or haven't been presented in this particular way. One of the things that was brought up on one of the slides was talking about hybrid cloud management, and you know, it's not just about Azure and or on-premise data center with a Windows server. We support Linux as well as what I'm going to show you today with one of my demos is talking to AWS and deploying a virtual machine up in AWS. And so just giving you guys some ideas on kind of what you can do with the service and how it can integrate in with your existing process. And so starting here with within OMS itself, OMS is obviously a collection of solution packs, and one of those solution packs is the automation service. And so if we were to dive into this, what you're seeing inside OMS itself today is essentially your runbooks and your jobs in the last 7 days. So this is really just an overview that's pulling directly from the Azure portal itself. And if we were to click into manage, this would go into a deep link, which actually opens up the Azure Automation portal. In the future, everything will be sitting inside the Azure portal itself, including OMS. And so that's the future direction and the roadmap of where we're going with all of this. You can see Ops Insights is already, your log analytics is already inside there. From a limited standpoint, we'll continue to add those pieces on. And so just giving a kind of an overview of, from a high level, what automation is all about, kind of what the differentiator is between, say, what you may be doing today with what I like to call manual automation, or even an existing automation solution you may have on-premise, such as Orchestrator or potentially even Opalis or SMA, at least in the Microsoft space, or some of the other products that are out there that are doing automation. And so in a traditional standpoint, as I mentioned, sort of the manual automation, this would be more what I would call taking PowerShell scripts sitting out on a share somewhere that you may have put away to execute against certain processes within your organization. So whether you're deploying virtual machines, whether you're running a script through a scheduled task to be able to do certain things around auditing stuff, or running some script to update a file share or check a file and make sure it exists, this type of thing. Part of that, obviously, is PowerShell modules. If you're leveraging PowerShell and potentially, more than likely, some sort of a credential that you're either putting in clear text form, or you're putting it out in some sort of a location on a share where it's secured, or potentially you're typing this and it's sitting on a sticky note somewhere. And so we have all those types of things around manual automation. In addition, with Orchestrator and some of the advancements we've done since then, we can take these credentials and put them into a secure asset store. And so what we're looking at here in Azure Automation is really the innovation that's gone on top of, starting with Opalis and moving on through Orchestrator, SMA, Service Management Automation, and Azure Automation. That's the same team that's been building all those solutions throughout inside Microsoft. And so now where we're putting all our investments and where we're leading towards is directly into the cloud, and then we're taking these investments that we put up in the cloud and bringing those on-premise where it makes sense. And so from the perspective of what we have in the asset store, I wanted to kind of give sort of a view into this and kind of a nickel tour into each one of these pieces. PowerShell modules. And so what you may have today sitting out, whether it be on your admin workstation or sitting on a server somewhere, obviously, as we know, as what Kevin alluded to, we're dealing with a much more complex environment today in our customer environments, in your environments. That would be Azure, AWS. We may be dealing with the service provider cloud. We're also dealing with our typical on-premise data center. And so, how do you go about managing that across the board, not just inside your own data center, but how do you do that across all the different systems? And so what we've allowed you to do is to bring up your own business customized PowerShell modules or third-party modules like this AWS module here, and basically extract and provide the commandlets and the activities that are within that PowerShell module to be consumed within Azure Automation. So I'll show you that here in a bit. But the point here is that we're not restricting, obviously, to just PowerShell for Exchange servers or SharePoint or something along those lines. We're allowing you to leverage the rich ecosystem of PowerShell out in the community and bring that directly in. And so one of those other pieces that I'd like to comment on is the fact that we've taken the existing PowerShell gallery that's already available out there that's continuing to grow and get consumed by the community and as well as internally at Microsoft, the PowerShell team as well as the Azure Automation team is providing these modules out here to be able to be consumed directly into your own subscription. And so, if we were to look for AWS as an example, it gives you sort of the nice view into taking this PowerShell module and then just clicking import and then allowing you to take a look at the dependencies and whatnot and work those things out so that you can bring that in just two or three clicks. So that's kind of the community aspect. If we look at certificates, we can bring certificates into the store, and the idea around this is being able to consume these certificates on the fly within automation. And so as opposed to having, again, this thing sitting out in a share or managing the certificate in multiple locations, having the certificate sort of at your will or at your fingertips so that you can consume this inline as needed and then update it in a single location and have that visibility into the expirations and when you modified it, that type of thing. Connections are really just a compilation of things, and so this could be stuff like, for example, my OMS connection here I've got, which is probably a better view into this, is details around, and I clicked too many times, hold on a second here. This always happens in demos, but in this case, I have an Azure Automation collection, that essentially is a collection of details around what my certificate name is, which is in the certificate store, as well as my subscription ID as an example. And so it's just taking a collection of things, bringing them into a single location, being able to pull that stuff in as opposed to having individual details that you have to consume one after another. Credentials. What's nice about this is no longer do you have to put this really on your sticky note or even have this necessarily restricted into your on-premise environment within, say, Orchestrator. You could still have Orchestrator managing your automation internally, and we could orchestrate against Orchestrator from Azure Automation. But the power here is really being able to do things like, for example, I want to communicate and automate against AWS. So I can pull those pieces into my asset store and leverage those without having to, again, write those down or put them in some location and try to manage them. You can manage them in a central location here. And one of the other values that we have inside here around variables is really variables, they call these more constants. They're just values, essentially, that you can define and consume. But the really nice thing here is, for example, I have my OMS workspace information, so my workspace ID and my key. Well, I want to keep those secure. I don't necessarily want to show those, definitely not on a demo, where someone could play back the recording and then all of a sudden they're having fun in my environment. So I've encrypted those and put those encrypted at rest here in the asset store, and then I'm able to consume those, whether they be inside a DSC resource, which I can show you here a little bit, or directly inside a runbook itself. I know I'm blazing through this. Kevin, if there are any questions, I can't really watch the IM window at the same time, but if there's any questions we need to pause on, we can...
Jim, there was just a few. Aiden was asking about, and I am taking an assumption of what he means. I think he says, will there be any additional modules for all System Center products? Currently, there are only a few, such as OpsMan and SMA.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Yeah, so that's a great question. I don't know if I can answer that directly. What I can answer is that if you have an existing orchestrator environment and you've got runbooks and you've created integration packs with Qik, you can leverage a migration tool that will take your existing runbooks and as well as your integration packs and convert those for you into a graphical runbook as well as a PowerShell module. And so that's something that the team is provided to be able to leverage to help and aid and assist in migrating you from Orchestrator to Azure Automation. Some of the challenges that we have with the existing PowerShell modules, it's not really a challenge, but it's up to the team that's creating it. So the nice thing is it's no longer tightly bound to, as we release some solution out there, that we have to have something that follows along with it. The PowerShell modules in general are pretty much coupled with the product, because that's it's a first-class citizen. Everyone is looking for that and to be able to automate against their infrastructure. And so the nice thing is we do have a lot of those out there, but as far as timelines on things that are coming up, I probably couldn't comment on directly.
Cool. And Kenneth had a question around, and I think I answered it just for verification. Can you automate against resources in another Azure sub?
Yes. Basically, the key there is that when you're running your runbook, you're inside your own automation space, your account itself. In order to be able to automate against Azure subscriptions, as you would need to essentially provide the credentials, whether that be through a service principal name or certificate, or if it's a service principal user, talking specifically Azure Resource Manager or the new portal, or some user ID essentially, or some combination of an SPN plus certificate type thing to be able to authenticate. But you can do that against one or many Azure subscriptions from one automation account.
Cool. All right. I think that's about it, Jim. Continue.
Great questions. All right. And I love the questions because I talk fast and we may end up finishing super early, but that rarely happens. But anyway, the questions are great, but I'll go ahead and plow forward here. So one of the other features that we have inside Azure Automation is this concept of a hybrid runbook worker. And so really what we're seeing here, hybrid runbook worker group, I've got a couple of them that are showing in here, two for my own purposes. I have one that's running on my laptop itself, and then I have another one in my private cloud. But really what this is about enabling you to be able to run your own automation inside your private cloud itself. Private cloud, or even in a partner cloud like an AWS cloud as an example, or a service provider cloud. And so the scenario here would really be anything that you don't want to run directly from automation out in the cloud, so up in Azure Automation with a sandbox instance that's up in the cloud. If there's a need or a reason why you've got to execute this with a specific run-as profile, and you want to use very specific executables or batch files or environmental type things that might be inside your own environment, the hybrid runbook worker is a great way of doing that. And essentially, it's just taking an existing virtual machine that you have in your environment, registering that up with Azure Automation, and then when you create your automation up against up in the cloud, to be able to target a hybrid runbook worker, a runbook worker group, so a series of runbook workers. The only requirement really today, anyway, is that you have to have a PowerShell, or those PowerShell modules that are required need to be local on that hybrid runbook worker. And so one of the caveats here is that the hybrid really is not something that's managed necessarily by Azure Automation. It's sort of an on-premise thing that reaches out and grabs jobs from Azure Automation. So as you submit a job into the queue, the hybrid runbook worker is reaching out from inside your on-premise environment to pick up that job and execute that. And so one of the other requirements today, just for full clarity and visibility, at least at this point in time, you know, April 15th of 2016, the hybrid runbook worker does not support any sort of proxy authentication. And so today, that hybrid runbook worker would need to have some way of getting out to the endpoint in Azure Automation. In the future, in the near future here, we're going to be adding in the capability of having proxy support, similar to the other components within OMS, so that you can navigate through leveraging, for example, the Log Analytics forwarder or a native proxy. All right. So next piece I wanted to talk about was DSE. And so I'm going to spend a little bit of time on desired state configuration to kind of give you a view into really the power of DSE. I wanted to show two different examples here. One of them specifically just to show the power of DSC and what it can do with your asset store, which I just sort of explained. And then I'm gonna actually do a demo on one of these other ones and dive a little bit deeper. But if I look here at the configuration here specifically, sorry, I clicked on the wrong tab. No, I didn't. Interesting. Oh, my tile's not refreshing. This has always happened to me. One second. Interesting. All right. Well, let's go into this one here, and I'll just keep pushing forward. For whatever reason, we're having an issue painting the tile, and so unfortunately, I can't directly show you the. Oh, here we go. All right, so perfect. Let me show it. Let me show it this way. The tile painting is having an issue. So to talk specifically about, and sorry, just going through a lot of tiles, but you'll get the idea here. Is essentially DSC is really a idempotent configuration methodology, and so it's essentially building a configuration as code, so to speak. You want to define a resource as being a particular way, a node to be defined, for example, to build out a web server, or to define it in a way that you want it to be configured in a particular way, and then you want to ensure that you don't have drift. And so from the perspective of what we're looking at here, really, this is about, at least what I'm doing here, is essentially defining an OMS package download. So this is the Microsoft Management Agent or Monitoring Agent for OMS. I've got basically a local path that I'm determining here from a variable perspective or where I want it to go. I'm bringing in some encrypted assets directly out of my asset store so I can consume those inside my compiled MOF, or the machine information file, basically, or operations file. And then I'm importing a PowerShell module, essentially our DSC resource, to be able to do some configuration. And then I'm wanting to ensure that I have a particular service that's up and running. As well, I'm downloading something off of a well-known blob source directly out of Azure or an external URL. And then I'm saying I want to download this particular file to my local path, which essentially I defined up here. And then essentially ensuring that it's present, it's installed, and if it's not installed, I'm going to go ahead and kick off using these command line arguments. I'm going to go ahead and kick off the install for the MMA agent. So the story here is that you could run this against a series of systems, apply it directly to those systems as they come online, and essentially install the Microsoft monitoring agent so that then it could be part of your OMS workspace. This isn't a super compelling example here, but what I really wanted to show you was the fact that we've got the ability to bring in encrypted assets directly inside here, which then will be encrypted inside the MOF itself. If we step back and take a look at another example, which is what I call the bakery website, I think this resonates fairly well in regards to a fairly complex solution. And just got to be patient and quit clicking here. And see, the idea here is that we've essentially got a vanilla server that I've deployed through an ARM template. So essentially, I've deployed this out into my Azure subscription, or in the future, maybe I'm deploying this down into Azure Stack. And what I want to do is to be able to configure this server in a particular way, in a predictable manner. And so I'm going to pull up PowerShell here to make this a little bit easier to see on screen so that it's not quite as much of an eye chart. But essentially what I'm doing here, very similar to the other module or configuration that I just showed you, is I'm importing some modules. I'm also defining some local source that I want to put some files down into. I want to install IIS, ensure it's present, and I also want to install the sub features and make sure that those are there. In addition, I'm bringing in some additional pieces around other features, as well as defining my websites within this environment to make sure that they're configured in a predefined way. I've got feature dependencies here, so I want to make sure that the W3 service is actually running and set to automatic so that I can have a good, successful website running and everything else once I configure it. But obviously it needs to depend on IIS being installed. So we have to make sure the feature is installed, and then we have a depends on scenario here. In addition, very similar in the other configuration, I'm pulling down something off of Blob Source or Blob Store that's basically giving me my configuration for my website in some predefined way. And then I'm extracting that down locally and configuring it for HTTP and port 80. And so this could be a number of things where you're configuring application pool and this type of stuff. And so kind of the idea is here that we're taking a base virtual machine that doesn't have anything on it, and we're applying this configuration to bring it up into a certain config that we are expecting. And so if I go back and take a look at the actual experience that you have here, I've got my DSC nodes. One of the big powerful features of Azure Automation DSC is the fact that you can not only apply these configurations down through a pull server type configuration, but you can also report on the compliance basically of that DSC config. And so it looks like, and this has got to be the only time this has ever happened to me. I can't believe this is going on here, but let's see if I can do a refresh. This is totally screwing up my demo. I don't know what's happening. Hold on 1 second. I'm seeing dot dots going on here, but well, imagine, if you will, diving into these individual things. They're showing compliancy, and so I'm not seeing my reports. There must be an outage going on right now.
Jim, it looks like somebody, there may absolutely be a outage. By chance, where's your automation account at? What region?
It's in East U.S., I think East U.S. too. So that might
I do recall seeing something this morning about East U.S., and somebody just pasted in.
Oh, okay.
That might be impacting us.
So that's okay, because I can continue on with this. That's what's going on with my blades, though, and that's the reason why things are happening here. So got to be the worst time for this to ever possibly happen. But the idea, imagine, if you will, if we weren't having an outage right now, which actually never happens, so this is really ironic. You would show the compliancy status as you're drilling into this on each one of these. This one's showing pending, which must have just happened recently, like at the top of the hour right after we started, ironically. But basically what would occur here is it would keep track of the status as well as the compliancy, and if it goes and falls out of compliance. And so if I flip over to my virtual machine, what I've got is the bakery website. And so essentially what I've done already is I deployed this as an ARM template, is just a vanilla virtual machine, and then I applied the DSC config. And essentially within a half an hour, it's taken that configuration, it's gone down to that virtual machine, and then it's checking it every 15 minutes to make sure that it fits that configuration. And so what I'm emulating here essentially is that this is what it's supposed to look like, but I've had some sort of an outage. Sort of ironic that we're kind of talking about outages here, but here I've had an outage, but it could be an outage that's self-inflicted. I may have a development update that's causing some problems or whatever that may have gone outside of my DSC configuration that I've defined. And so all of a sudden my customers are seeing this. And so the story here is that essentially behind the scenes what's going on is which I can't show you in the portal, but what I can show you here is that DSC is going through there 15 minutes and checking to see if things are healthy. And so as we can see here, it's coming back false, and actually because I put verbose on, I can tell that there's certain files, sorry, that are missing here. Specifically my images and whatnot are missing out of the folder. And so if I flip over, ordinarily what you'd have to do is determine exactly what's going on by kind of going from the main website and trying to understand, okay, well, it looks like these files are missing. Are they actually missing? Are we having a communication issue? It has to do with network, whatever it is. And so, but I can see, and I know, because I'm my own web developer, I know my images folder is missing, but I can also tell from here that it's missing out of that directory structure. And so if I have this on a apply and remediate, it'll automatically fix this drift for me, and I don't have to do anything with it. I just go through and I'm off to the races. So I basically, it's behind the scenes fixing this drift for me and then reporting on it inside the portal. And so what we're seeing here is that it's unzipped the archive. We look behind the scenes. The images folder is now there, which is great. If I go back here and I rerun this test is going to go through and do a very quick without Reverberos because I know everything's going to come back in a successful standpoint. It's saying that everything that it's checked according to the DSC config is true. We're in a good state. And then if I flip back here and do a refresh, I'm in good shape on my website. So it's really the story is really around whether it be a pets versus cattle type conversation or whether you have snowflakes out there. The idea being is that you want to treat your servers here in the very near future more like cattle and less like pets. You don't want to have to do all of these checklists and manual things if you can avoid it. You may have some snowflakes out there. You may have to do that. So you can certainly automate around those things, which is the things where you want to do very specific stuff and it's on a very edge case or a small scenario. But in the broader picture, when you're deploying your infrastructure and you're building services out for either your customers or your on-premise environments or even up into your public cloud when you're doing things up there, especially when it comes to things like web servers and things where you know it's in a predictable fashion, recommendation is to start looking at something like DSC. If I flip back over here, I know I'm not going to be able to see. I'll go ahead and do this, but it's futile, I'm sure. It's still down. So what we would see is that instead of pending here, this would actually have flipped over into compliant because things are back up and running, and then we would have the tracking in here. With the introduction of WMF5, we have additional pieces that we can see inside here from the perspective of instead of just some JSON raw data coming up into the pane, we would actually start to see the drift information. And as we continue to innovate on this service, from feedback from you guys, we'll continue to iterate on this. As Kevin mentioned early on, there's a lot of updates going on. It's kind of mind-blowing. Since we are in a cloud service, OMS goes through an average of about 300 updates a month. You contrast that with what we're looking at from a packaged product where we were doing things quarterly potentially, and that was fairly aggressive, or back in old school where we're doing yearly, or even older school where we're doing every 3 years. And so from an iteration perspective, we're very agile in this space to be able to innovate fairly quickly and to bring the updates in here. And so we've got investments in all of these areas, and we continue to pull more and more in to be able to provide more and more value for the customer. So the last demo that I'm going to do, and I think this is going to work as long as Azure Automation is actually up and running, I want to show you guys Runbooks. And so far, so good. If we look at Runbooks, what I wanted to sort of concentrate on was this AWS provision Runbook. And specifically, no, it's not going to, this is going to kill me here, I think. I may have to, let me see. If I have a published Runbook, I might be able to pull this one up. Let me see. Yes. So imagine, if you will, an automation runbook that has essentially just PowerShell. So it's a PowerShell runbook that has parameters. It's bringing in things from the asset store, very similar to what you were seeing inside the DSC configurations. I'm going out with this particular runbook, and I'm reaching into my AWS portal. And I'm leveraging the credentials that's inside my asset store to automate against AWS. And so I'm going in there. I'm looking to make sure that that my credentials work, that I can communicate. Otherwise, I'll bail out. I'm also looking at the virtual machine images that are available inside AWS to make sure that those are available. And then I'm going through and executing according to some sort of set of parameters. One thing I can do, and it makes sense now because I saw this at the very beginning, but I'm going to provide this URL which is the URL for this actual runbook. And what you're seeing is what I'm seeing here, which is page not found, which means we have a larger issue going on inside Azure, and I think some other things happening behind the scenes here. But this would normally bring up the example that I have that I'm getting ready to demo, and hopefully it's going to work here. But the idea is that we've got this runbook. It's going to provision the virtual machine and provide a status if this works. In addition, I've got some predefined default values and whatnot. I've got run on Azure. Ordinarily, what I would have is also a run on hybrid, which isn't showing either. And so I'm going to go ahead and put the virtual machine. I'm just going to put VM01 just to keep it simple, and click OK. And so what's going to happen here behind the scenes, since we're not using ARM, but we're using the automation environment, what's happening is we're actually kicking this off as it's going into the queued state, and it's probably not going to show me the status, but it's spinning up a sandbox up into Azure Automation. That sandbox instance is a very small instance, a very lightweight instance that's bringing in your PowerShell modules that are inside your automation account. It's a customized instance for you in your own automation account. Basically, once that's spun up and is running, and now it is running, it's going to go out and look at your asset store. It's going to pull in the things, validate that it can actually access all the different credentials. It's doing syntax checking against your runbook and that type of thing. And then what's occurring behind the scenes is it's going to reach into, and it looks like here I can at least show you the logging that's going on, but it's not going to be live in real time. But it's authenticating against AWS. It's right now getting the AWS image. If I do a refresh here, the image is found. And if I go back here, by the way, there's nothing going on inside my EC2 environment. I don't have anything running right now. But actually, there is one pending because it's just spinning up. And so essentially, if I click refresh, you can see it creates a new instance. It's applying the new VM name, and then it's successfully created it. And so essentially, that's the demo going from a broken automation or Azure environment. It's pretty impressive that we're down to bare bones and it's still working, right?
Yeah. So Jim, just for the record, right? So many of you obviously know that, you know, Chris and Mark and others say, hey, we actually do have a status right now. We have a known issue going on, multiple regions for the GUI. However, that's a good point, Jim, which is it's impacting our pretty pictures and our tiles. But absolutely, the APIs and the service that is Azure Automation that's powering this. So anything that it seems, that's all fine, right? As you just proved here, it's just we can't get the pretty pictures right exactly at this moment. So for the record, absolutely. Yes, we've got some outages, but for what really matters, we're still good to go.
Yeah, and I think one of the other pieces to kind of talk about here is, you know, as we continue to push forward with OMS and the integrations with Log Analytics, one of the things that I didn't really show, which I kind of wanted to show, was that connection between, and yes, that link is broken currently right now. I think there's a larger issue going on with Azure. And I think probably that website is probably, or at least the storage behind that is probably stored on Azure, and so that may be what's going on there. But that link will come up, and so reference that, I'd say in the next couple of hours it should be back. But we are linking and working constantly towards linking the insights that you gather out of Log Analytics directly in with Azure Automation. In addition, if you look, we have the ability in here within the automation space to be able to light up the audit logs. What we will be doing is enabling the diagnostics coming out of this and pushing that directly into Log Analytics so that you can do more things like job statistics and having the watcher watch the watcher, so to speak, and that type of thing. I think rather than walking on the thin line I'm on right now as far as trying to show you anything else, I think I've reached the end of my demonstration capabilities. So I'll open it up to questions if there's anything that has come through that I can kind of elaborate on.
Yeah, thanks for that, Jim. So I think I've done a pretty good job here of keeping up with the IM questions. Obviously, there's a lot of comments around what you were experiencing going through with the GUI issues that we're right now today having within the portal. So here's that. So we're still at about 80, high 80s of people here. So I'm going to keep this, probably keep muting all, but if you've got a question, feel free to type it in the IM. While we're doing that, Jim, I'm going to steal the presentation away from you. Let's see. Whoops. I can't talk and move the mouse at the same time.
Yeah. You'd be doing better than me if you could.
There we go. All right, so just want to move back to the deck for some wrap-up references. I think, Jim, you had some slides that you gave me. There they are. So here are some good suggestions to find out more information, get more information about Azure Automation from the primer, that DSC example, so the desired state configuration, which is, as Jim had mentioned, I mean, that's basically just a thing, right? DSC itself, with or without Azure Automation, is pretty awesome. But now that we've incorporated it as part of Azure Automation, it's even better. And so there's a link there that kind of talks about DSC in light of using that together with Azure Automation as shown today. Hybrid runbook workers obviously are a big deal, considering that, again, yeah, all the cloud stuff's awesome, but you know, unless you're unlike many of the customers I talk to on a day-to-day basis, 90%+ of what you're doing is still in good old-fashioned data centers, right? They're on traditional DCs, on real servers running stuff. And so hybrid workers is the magic that gives us the ability to orchestrate for that on-premises stuff. But using Azure Automation as kind of the control plane, the security plane to manage it in a much better way. And finally, the deployed AWS example that Jim was actually able to execute, because again, the API is working, however, the portal pretty pictures are not at the moment, can be found here, I guess, when I know we have an outage there, but that AKMS link will take you there as well. And then Q&A, and then again, to wrap up, content available at AKMS OMS Fridays. So please check that out. The recording will probably take me, probably get there hopefully before I get on my plane this today. So it should be out there sometime later today for your review. And yes, so I'm going back through, just checking questions. Now I can force my AWS team to use Azure Automation. That is correct. let's see, just looking at sharing the deck. Yep, so it's at that link. Wait until later to get the slide decks. Actually, I believe if you go to that OMS Fridays, there's the past PPTXs. I think I already put this 12 slide deck. It's already out there. It should be marked with in the file name like April 4, 2016. If I hopefully wrote it right. And okay, well, I think that's all the questions that I see. If I missed anything, which is very possible, feel free to reach out to me directly or Jim. I'm simply kevin.sullivan@microsoft.com. And Jim, is it jim.britt?
Yeah, jim.britt@microsoft.com.
Yep. So feel free. We'll do what we can to take care of you. And with that, I guess happy tax day here in the U.S., right? So actually it's the 18th this year.
It's the 18th, yeah. I was going to say happy tax day, but then I'm like, hey, they give us a couple more days.
Right. Well, because they have to take a break because they work very hard in our government. So anyway. All right, guys. Till next time. Don't have the topic picked yet, but my plan is to have the next call here a week from next Friday. Talk to you then.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.